Well, 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 well. Well, hasn't it been great? Are you feeling tired?
I'm just going to get a sheet.
Okay. A bed sheet? I mean, well, what about all this? Where's all this politeness gone to, you know? Fantastic. Are these guys staying in or going out or what? Oh, they're staying in, okay. Well, I'm going to talk for, believe it or not, I'm going to talk for 10 minutes. I'm going to time myself, all right? Does that sound okay? So I'm going to talk for 10 minutes to give the introduction, and then we'll just take it from there and we'll see where we go. I was thinking about some verses from Philippians chapter 2. I felt the Holy Spirit challenge me that it would be good to finish on this note, really. Bearing in mind all that we've been talking about over this weekend, stepping up, stepping out. Then the theme changed last night to stepping out, stepping up, stepping out. Put your right leg in, your right leg out, in, out, in, out, shake it all about. That's next year's theme, by the way. But I really felt that the Holy Spirit said that when we step out, we've got to make sure we do it with the right attitude. How many of you know that your attitude determines your altitude? Are you with me? So, Philippians 2 talks about the attitude that Jesus had. In fact, he encourages us in verse number 5, and he says, your attitude really ought to be the same as that of Jesus Christ. I'll read a little bit of it. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, you stop for a second and ask yourself, what's it there for? Therefore, in light of all this, God has exalted him to the highest place, given him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he says in Philippians 2 verse 5 that your attitude ought to be the same as that of Jesus Christ. For the sake of time, I could talk about this for a long time, but I really won't. I want to have a little think about the attitude that Jesus had. What kind of attitude did Jesus display? Well, he makes it clear here in Philippians 2. Let me tell you a few things. Number one, Jesus' attitude was an attitude of servanthood. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And that was the attitude that Jesus had. I want to encourage you, in your stepping out, stepping up, stepping out, stepping in, stepping all over the place, wherever you're going to, can I encourage you, always have a servant attitude. Because that's the attitude that Jesus displayed for us. It's an attitude of serving people. When we keep an attitude like that, it really helps us on our journey. Helps us to avoid all the things that the devil wants to put in our path. When we keep a servant attitude, what's a servant attitude? It's an attitude that just loves people. It's motivated by a heart of love. You know that there are different languages for love in the New Testament. Filial love, which is a loving friendship, and storge love, which is to do with an affectionate love. But the ultimate love is the word agape, which is to do with selfless love. I think it was Amy Carmichael who said that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And a servant attitude is an attitude that just loves to give, loves to serve. This is the kind of attitude that Jesus had. Number two, the kind of attitude that Jesus had was a humble attitude. A humble attitude. Wasn't driven by ego, wasn't driven by self-centeredness. Jesus was approachable. Jesus was dependable. Jesus was actually interested in people, invested his time in people. He preached to the crowds. He also spent time with individuals. I think that that's a really good lesson for all preachers to understand. If anybody aspires to be a preacher, well, that's a noble aspiration, but make sure that you delight to spend time with individuals as well. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was humble in his attitude. Humility is the very opposite of what our society today stands for. Number three, Jesus' attitude was a championing attitude. A championing attitude. What do I mean? Well, think about the disciples that he chose. How many of you know that the disciples that Jesus chose were probably the kind of folks that you wouldn't want to have in your church? We spiritualize them, we put halos on their heads and all the rest of it. These were fellas, average age, they reckon was about 15, 16, 17 years old, full of rough edges, sons of thunder. I think I mentioned yesterday they were the Mansfield contingency. They could have bad tempers at times. They could mess it up at times. They could say the wrong thing at times. And yet Jesus continued to serve these guys. He continued to stick with them. Which is what we need to learn in the context of church. Wonderful here Sunday morning here in wonderful Derbyshire. Valentine's Day. All the men, did you remember? Let's move on very quickly. Wonderful atmosphere. But then the challenge comes, and I've been talking about this the whole weekend, and I feel the Holy Spirit wanting to emphasize it again. The real challenge is, we've got to be real about this, is when we hit those relational snags. Maybe we disagree on how we ought to do things. Maybe you have a different point of view. It's okay to disagree, folks, so long as we have an attitude of humility about it. So long as we keep the big picture at the forefront of everything. Jesus' attitude was one of championing other people. A woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus. You know the story? Why'd they bring the woman? Why'd they not bring the fella? Speaky English? It take 020 to tango? Why'd they just bring the woman? Some say it because the guy was a Pharisee, and that would be an embarrassment to them. But they brought the woman to Jesus. And they say to him, the law says she should be stoned. What do you say? And they think they've caught him out. Because if he answers, yes, stone her, then they're going to say, well, you don't have any compassion, do you? If he says, no, don't stone her, then they're going to say, you don't believe the law. Because the law says she should be stoned. So how did Jesus respond? He got on the ground and he wrote on the ground. Now, I've heard all sorts of weird and wonderful sermons about what Jesus wrote on the ground. 10 commandments and all that. I think that he did a holy doodle, personally. You know, exeozy, something like that, you know. Point was not what he wrote on the ground. The point was that he didn't say anything. And how many of you know that even if you're a fool, you can look really clever when you don't say anything. You can look really intelligent when you don't say anything. And there are some contexts when it's really wise not to air your opinion. How many of you know the church is not a social club? This is the church of Jesus Christ. In the big picture, in the big scheme of things, my opinion doesn't really matter very much. Hello? You still love me? Well, you won't after you hear what I have to say next. Because your opinion doesn't really matter too much either. Well, you've gone very quiet on me now. I think, you see, the problem with this church is... How many times do people say that? The problem with this church is... The problem is... Shut up. Be quiet. The problem is... You. Keep it shut. If you can't think of anything encouraging to say, don't even bother saying anything. And this is coming out of my spirit, and I can say this now, because I'm going home afterwards. Jesus didn't say anything to these guys. And then his time came. They talked themselves out. He stood up and he said, excuse me, folks. Whoever of you is without sin, please, will you be the first to cast the stone towards this woman? And they stand there. And they realize that he's got him. And then Jesus went. That's what the Greek implies. He got them because everybody's a sitter. And then they go away one by one. And then he says to her, now, where are your accusers? I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. He didn't condone what she did, but he didn't condemn her either. Are you with me? He championed her, actually. He saw potential. And the Pharisees saw this woman as a means of, as a way of getting at Jesus. They were using manipulative tactics. That is classic devil stuff. Using manipulative tactics. Taking something that's genuine and twisting the whole thing to try to turn it on somebody else. That is called manipulation. We ought never to go there. Jesus knows how to deal with that. He kept his mouth shut. He championed the woman. He's interested in people. And that ought to be the case with us. Now, I know that this sounds very challenging. I suppose I could have stood up here and told everybody, I love you all and I care for you all. And oh, let's all hold hands and let's all sing Kumbaya. And let's leave on a note like that. But I want to be real about this. Stepping up, stepping out, got to do it with the right attitude. Don't get that right. Nothing else will be right. Are you with me? Are you blessed? Okay, number four, by the way, I've got 73. That was a real joke, by the way. Number four, Jesus' attitude, and I get this, this really challenges me, was an attitude, I've got 10 minutes to go. Jesus' attitude was an attitude of obedience. I mean, get this statement. Listen, if I preach for 10 minutes, that will be the greatest miracle I've ever had in my ministry. Philippians 2:8, I mean, this statement just gets me. This is the statement about the one who spoke the stars into the sky. And it says of him that he became obedient to death on a cross. Do you get that? Jesus, God, incarnate in the flesh, he submitted himself. He subjected himself to the will of the Father. Even at the cross, he said, not my will, but yours be done. That's what you call an attitude of obedience. Not doing it because you have to do it, doing it because you want to do it. That's the kind of attitude that God really loves. Number five, Jesus' attitude was an attitude of sacrifice. He went to the cross. Hey, when he spoke the stars into the sky, did it cost him anything? When he said, let it be, creation came into being, did it cost him anything to do it? Uh-uh. But for him to go to the cross, pay the price for your sin, my sin, we're going to just commemorate this and celebrate this in a moment or two. For all of this to happen, cost him everything. It literally cost him everything. That's what you call sacrifice. And I felt the Holy Spirit challenge me and say, hey, let's get real about this. And this stepping up, stepping out, stepping up, put your left leg in, left leg out, and all that. What you're doing here in the life of the church, there will be a requirement of sacrifice on our parts. Doing whatever it takes to get the job done. Doing whatever it takes to build the house. Anyone who has ever done anything of significance has at some point had to sacrifice along the way. And I just get a sense of the Holy Spirit saying that for some of us, this is going to be a requirement on our parts. Sacrifice of time. Sacrifice maybe even of personal ambition. I remember when I made my stand and I knew that I was called to be an evangelist. The devil tried to make me into a pastor of a church. The devil did. I was offered to go and be a pastor of a church, and they said to me, you come to our church, we will give you a wonderful salary, we'll give you a nice house, cushy office, lovely life. And Roy was tempted. Nice church, big church, wonderful offer. And I prayed about it. I prayed about it in the way that when you pray about something, you're trying to convince God that this is right. Lord, I really think that this is your will. I really think that this is what you want me to do, isn't it? Hint, hint. God never takes any hints from anybody, by the way. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the Holy Spirit said, if you take up that offer and you don't be true to your calling, then I'll take my glory off you and I'll put it onto somebody else. Wow. Well, thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. So I didn't take up that offer, and then the next number of years after that were pretty tough years financially and so on. I have to tell you, I'm a blessed guy today. I'm a happy guy too. Happy to be with you. Happy in my life. Because I'm I'm finding that I'm in the will of God. Hey, there's never a happier place than to be in the will of God. Sometimes you've got to sacrifice to make sure that you stay there, but I tell you something, every bit of it is worth it. To see the kingdom of God come to pass, hey, everybody's sacrifice that you make, even in terms of building this church, it'll be worth it. When you see that church of thousands of people, when you can't get your seat on Sunday morning, but we've already dealt with that, don't you think it would be worth it to see your time saved? Anybody believe that? What about the whole region? What about a church that actually has the audacity to touch the nation? What about a church that people take notice of as a house of miracles and healing and signs and wonders and all kinds of wonderful things? Anybody excited about that? So we sacrifice a little bit. Sometimes it's a bit painful along the way. Sometimes God has to work on character. A bit painful. But we keep at it. We stick at it. We keep going for it. And then when we see the result, we look back and we say, man, that was worth it. Are you with me? Number six. I got two to go. Number six, Jesus' attitude was an attitude of grace. I like the kids' song that we sang about forgiving, about loving. Hey, we could do with hearing that over and over and over and over again. If there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness or anything like that in our relationships, and I'm dealing with real stuff here because I know what people are like. People can hold on to things. People can hold on to grudges and stuff sometimes that we just need to let go of. And we are a part of the kingdom of God. If God had the grace to forgive us, then we ought to have the grace to forgive each other. When he was on the cross, now listen, some statements that Jesus made on the cross mesmerize me. I can't even get to grips with them. And when he's on the cross, making all of this possible, they say that when somebody was suffering on the cross, it was the most gruesome form of torture you could possibly go through. The nails in the hands and the feet, when the person suffering on the cross leaned forward to try to get some relief, the pain in the hands and the chest would have been excruciating. When they pushed themselves back to get a little bit of breath on the chest, the pain in the hands and the feet would have been even more excruciating. And they say that when somebody was suffering like that, it was the instinctive thing to cry out cursings against the people who were doing this dastardly act to you. And yet Jesus, when he's going through all of that, says of the people doing this, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Don't you think that that's the grace of God in operation? When somebody's under pressure, how they respond tells you what they're really like. And that showed us what Jesus is really like. Hey, don't you think that's challenging? And finally, number seven, Jesus' attitude was an attitude of total forgiveness, total grace. And our attitude ought to be the same. I'll tell you a little story and then I'm finishing. Graham's sitting on the edge of his seat and he wants me to shut up now. Guy offended me one time. And he hurt me, said something really silly, told me I was a nobody, I'd never get anywhere in life. This was a minister, told me that he was amazed that I was getting the opportunities that I was getting because he didn't like me. One of those real nice words of encouragement, you know. And I did the bloke thing when this guy said this. I thought, I can deal with this. And then after a couple of days, I began to rehearse in my mind all the things that I should have said to him when he said that to me. You know what I'm talking about? And then I got angry in my heart. I found I was getting bitter in my heart. Around that time, I got a little gift of, I think it was £200. I was a member of the AA, not Alcoholics Anonymous, but the Automobile Association. They gave me a little gift. It was actually a windfall. I thought, fantastic, this is great. This is going to pay for my airfare to go to America because I was preaching in America. They said, you pay for yourself to get out here and then we'll take care of the rest. So I said, thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful. This is fantastic. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and the Holy Spirit said, hey, that guy really offended you, didn't he? I said, yeah. The Holy Spirit said to me, well, I want you to bless him with half of that money that you received. How did I know that was God speaking to me? So I had a little bit of an argument with God, but he won. When God says, come, let us reason together, he doesn't really mean that. He always wins. So I wrote this guy a little letter God bless you. I love you. I forgive you. Blah, blah, blah. And I sent him a check for half the money. Did I get a response? No, but that's okay, because that's not the issue. The issue wasn't him. The issue was me, and I recognized that. And I was releasing it. It wasn't to do with the money. I was releasing it. And the next day, I got a little letter through the post from a church back in the north of Ireland. They've always prayed for me and supported me. And they said, in fact, it wasn't the next day. It was a couple of days later. They said, we were praying for you the other day. God spoke to us and told us that we've got to bless you with a little gift. And here it is. And inside that letter was a little envelope. I opened it up, and inside there's a check for £1,000. And I took the check, and I very quickly put it in my back pocket in case God told me to do anything else with it. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, you see, you could have had what you had in your hand, or else you can have what I have in mine. Well, I'm wrapping this thing up. Hey, folks, when we step out by faith, when we do the thing that God has told us to do, let's keep the same attitude as Jesus, an attitude of humility, an attitude of servanthood, an attitude that loves other people, even when it gets tough, even when you feel a bit of pressure every now and then, an attitude that's gracious, an attitude that's quick to forgive, and you could think of a whole pile of other things as well. And as we're just about to come to this table, drink the wine, eat the bread, let's come. And let's be challenged about keeping that kind of attitude.